The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys, whose website is still not up.
But still?
CrazyKingsOfToys.com. So, that's alright. That's what happens. Welcome, my co-host Dave Draper!
Hey!
Hi, Dave Draper.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? You better than last week?
Yeah, I'm all
right. All right.
Well, let's tell the tale of what happened after we went off the air last week.
Oakley to Oak?
So, my computer ended up having a major nasty virus on it.
Ruh-roh.
That took care of, then took care of the malware that was associated with the virus.
Oh, lovely.
And the only reason I knew there was a virus on the computer is because I had opened up Internet Explorer because I couldn't get Google Chrome to work right. And Internet Explorer had a default search engine that I didn't put there. And I was like, well, that's not good. Looked it up. And I'm like, oh, look, that's a virus. That's spectacular. So got rid of all that.
Yeesh.
Got rid of the spyware. Figured out what was wrong with my internet. Turns out that my wireless adapter wasn't actually connecting properly to either of the wireless ports in the house. So either to mine downstairs, the one up here, it wasn't connecting. So it wasn't finding an actual MAC address for my home computer.
Okay.
And it was just creating one that didn't work, period, which is why my speeds were so slow. Once I figured that out, yeah, my upload speeds went back up to what they were supposed to be, which is doesn't take me 19 hours to upload an episode of Collection Expansion. It takes me 20 minutes to upload an episode of Collection Expansion.
Hooray!
So
you went through the fire, but you're less grumpy now.
Well, no, there were still problems.
Oh, good.
You remember my goal was this last weekend to finish up the first episode of Board and start on episodes 2 and 3 and get them knocked out of the way?
Sure, why not?
Turns out because of that virus and whatever it caused Adobe Premiere Pro to not read the MTS files, which are the high-def files that come off my camera.
Yeah.
So it wasn't reading them at all. Turns out it was trying to read them. The file names are supposed to be lowercase. The .mts is supposed to be a lowercase. For some reason, Premiere made all the interior files that associated with those video files uppercase. So it wasn't reading them or connecting them. And I could reconnect the video files to the files that are supposed to be, but then it wasn't reading the audio. So it would come through with the video, but then the audio wouldn't be there. And I was like, what the hell? And I spent 3 days sorting that mess out. So I spent all weekend sorting out the issues with the video editor because I was like, I can't come back and re-edit this whole thing again. I already had it almost done. And trying to recreate it's going to be a pain. This sucks. So, yeah, I spent all the way up till Sunday afternoon figuring that out, which wasn't fun.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So because everything had worked fine on Wednesday, and then I went through all that mess on Thursday with the virus and all that, and then Friday night and then Saturday and Sunday going through fixing Premiere and then finally fixing it. So, and then Monday we got up and went out of town because we're on our kind of like little staycation. So we went to Chicago, and yesterday morning we got up, or Tuesday, because we're recording this on Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday we got up and went to St. Louis because I knew I had to be in St. Louis after 4 p.m. anyway to pick up those ponies because it was the only day I could pick them up from her. So we went to St. Louis in the morning and went to an estate auction, kind of like, oh, actually the same company you and I went to last summer.
Yeah.
And did that and went to one of the antique malls in St. Charles. So we were literally just right past where Toy Man is in Bridgeton.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah. So yesterday was a mess and got home late, sorted out the whole car and trunk full of stuff that we had from the auction, the estate sale, the ponies, you know.
Yeah.
Huge totes and stuff full of stuff. Went through all that, put a lot of it away, sorted it out, what we wanted to do for collection expansion and what we just wanted to put away, like little stuff. When I went through the ponies and set all them up and make sure, you know, sorted everything out, pulled out stuff from the extra parts that I bought for the two big play sets, knowing that she didn't have everything for the main play sets anyway. Sorted all. By the time I got that done, I was like, I got to get up and work 4 hours tomorrow morning, and it's already almost 1 o'clock. I'm like, so I didn't get to edit yesterday. Got up this morning and worked four and a half hours or so. Came upstairs, ate lunch, and then ended up falling asleep on the couch until you came over.
Ah.
Yeah, so I've got no work done. The reviews that have gone up on the site this week have been all DOS.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, after messing with that all weekend, and I just like, I've got to get board done. It's got to be ready to go Saturday. I've got to get most of episode two edited and get the script to Danny before Tuesday, because Dan leaves for California on Tuesday because PowerCon starts next weekend. So it's like, I've got to get Danny recorded his lines to cut into episode two, into the board game playing segments, in order to get all that situated, so then I can worry about episode three. And it's like, oh my God. I'm like, board is quickly becoming a bi-weekly show at this point, and it sucks, because that is not what I intended at all. But, you know, it's really the first time I've undertaken a show of this...
of this magnitude.
Of this magnitude. I mean, there's a lot... I mean, people will see once they see board this weekend. I mean, you've seen a little bit...
Well, it's a real show.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we've never really tried.
Yeah, it has been a huge, huge learning experience for all of us involved. The undertaking, just the amount of setups that we've done, and the, you know, the different angles we've shot at.
Yeah.
And, you know, poor Dave scrunched into a closet operating a puppet.
Yeah,
know?
that was a hoot.
Yeah. Yes, for anyone wondering, Dave does operate Puppet Duvall.
I do.
Yeah. The series, and provides the
and
voice.
Provide the voice. Yeah, yes. that was fun. I was ADRing him earlier today. little inside lingo there for that.
It really is. It's turning out to be a fun little show. And like I said, Dave guest stars on an episode coming up this season.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, which should be a lot of fun. So, I've edited little bits and pieces of that together just because I wanted to see how it flowed. And it still cracks me up every time I watch it. So.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah. I'm like, this is gonna be so fun. So yeah, I mean, it's been the week's been better so far.
Okay.
I'm not grumpy.
Well, that's good.
Per se. I'm frustrated, but I'm not nowhere near as grumpy as I was last week.
Well, yeah, you were in the middle of it last week. Oh, now you're kind of hopefully coming out of it.
I was so mad last week.
Yeah, no, that was fun. That was a hoot.
Oh, God.
That was great.
Sucks so bad. I hate that crap. But yeah, so we went to the estate auction yesterday, Carrie and I did. And, you know, it was mostly, it wasn't really an action figure stuff. It was a lot of Disney stuff. I found a couple action figures things. We bought a huge tote of Happy Meal toys, and there happened to be two action figures in there. One was a...
Flog.
One was Flog from New Adventures, and I was like, ooh, Flog. I don't have Flog. I'll take Flog. Yeah. And the other one was a transforming Power Rangers Tommy. There was a Captain Planet figure that was on the table above that we didn't get that didn't sell with that lot. I ended up with the little... It was Scum, the rat guy.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up with his neck piece that went over his face to hide his face. And I was like, well, I know who this goes to. Too bad we don't have the figure. He's back at that place. That old lady got him. Hmm. Some old lady, Disney lady got him. But it was a fun day. 4 hours to go through the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the one we went to took for freaking ever. So.
Yeah, it did. Because they did all the upstairs first. And
yeah, they did everything we wanted was downstairs. And except for the garage. The garage was early on.
Yeah, and the garage had some interesting items come out of it.
Yeah, that's where I got my desk.
Yeah, that's where you got the desk. So there was some interesting items come out of there, but yeah, it was the same auctioneer, it was the same company. No major issues. We really didn't have a whole lot of major competition. Surprisingly, we had some. There was a couple ladies there buying a lot of the Disney stuff, but the stuff we wanted, we didn't have any issues.
Yeah.
You know, there were a couple things. There was like a Little Mermaid statue I wanted that I didn't win, which kind of sucked. But the rest of the stuff, I got some pictures, and most of it was Carrie's, like just all of Carrie's Little Mermaid stuff. Her Little Mermaid stuff. All of Carrie's stuff that she wanted. So
yeah.
It turned out pretty good. So it was a fun little sale.
I guess.
To say, yeah.
Good
yeah,
for you.
Well.
I'm bitter.
You're bitter.
Dude, I got screwed out of two Valkyries.
I know you did. I know, and it sucks. It sucks badly.
Yeah, that was weak sauce.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was
apparently the lesson to be learned was you got to be the bigger whiny B.
Yeah, word. Apparently with them you have to just be the complete whiny butthole and be like, oh,
the squeakiest wheel. Oh, but the hammer's already down, and you should have paid more attention. Boo hoo!
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. Well, you should have been paying attention.
Yeah, that's hard cheese, Spunky.
It's like check off. That was a fun one. We've complained about that auction enough.
Yeah. Well, no, we haven't.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough.
We will never complain about that auction enough.
I suppose.
But I am willing to move on for the moment.
Yes. So, yeah, other than that, it's, I'm in a much better mood, I would suppose.
That's good.
Yeah, I found your Christmas present.
Okay. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thought I was getting the Bigfoot game.
Well.
Because you're still being a jerk and not giving me the Raiders game.
Yeah, I know. No, I found you something that I was like, ooh, Dave would like this.
Okay.
I will buy this for Dave.
I actually know what the perfect Christmas present for me is.
Oh, what's that?
But I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Oh, really?
Come on, no. Honestly, I can't find it anywhere. Like, there's been... I'm going to go on a tangent. Dave goes on a tangent.
Okay.
I've been watching this. Well, you know that my girl Cherry is into cosplaying.
Right.
And we've talked about it before. And there have been questions on the fan questions about cosplay. And the one character that I kind of might be able to pull off that I'm interested in doing, because I'm not going to do a full Gamorrean guard suit. I would just die.
Yeah, Dave.
Dave would overheat and die.
Yeah, Dave sweats out of an outfit of that. Dave would. We'd have to hook you up. I'd lose
a lot of weight, but.
Well, there you go.
The realistic jiggling action would not be fat. It would be all the sweat. Like, but John Hammond.
Oh yeah.
And I'd love the cane.
Mm.
And I can't find it. Like, I find all these tutorials on how to make one, but
nobody's made one.
They sell them, but like they're always. You know, search engines irritate the snot out of me because they always come up with, here's an auction from 2009.
Yeah, they like doing
that. It's
like,
yeah, neat. I need something from 2013.
Yeah,
when
we search for stuff, that kind of stuff comes up and it's like, ugh. It's like, really? It's like, I don't need all of that. I need freaking.
I need now.
Yes.
But yeah, I would love a John Hammond cane. That would be super cool.
John Hammond cane would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
Yeah.
Well, everyone keep an eye out for that because.
Because Dave can't find one.
Because Dave cannot find one. Yes. I will keep an eye out for that. But no, I found you something that...
Okay.
That I think you might like.
Because, I mean, the rest of the outfit's just clothes, and I can buy that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, that's not cool. Because my tangent was going to be that I've been watching this show on Sci-Fi, or Sci-Fi, Heroes of Cosplay.
Oh, is that any good? I've heard weird things about that.
It's interesting. Really? It comes on after Face Off, so there's that. Like it's interesting. Like two of the people on it are from that Comic-Con thing that you made me watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were the ones that they were the cosplayers.
Oh, they were the that did the BioShock.
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Yeah. Yes.
And actually, this week they actually did a special thing for Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim.
Oh.
They did a thing, I guess, for the viral marketing, like in the world of Pacific Rim, there were Pacific Rim cosplayers. So they did a thing where they were Pacific Rim cosplaying, you know, kaiju
Well, they kind of showed a little bit of that in the movie.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was actually in the movie or not, but I know. But they specifically said it was for the viral marketing.
Yeah, because there was the whole thing about how there were all the kaiju lovers.
So that was kind of cool. But yeah, it's weird. Like one of the main people on the show is a judge, and she's kind of a B word herself.
Really,
she looks good in the Baroness outfit, but she's kind of a. Yeah, she's like the big queen of cosplay, Yaya. And I'm like, seriously?
Is that her name?
That's her name, Yaya.
Yaya?
She's Asian, and she has large breastises. So I assume the fanboys are all over her like stink on a monkey.
Large breastises are okay.
Yeah, but you don't normally find those two things together, and those are two things that guys are interested in, especially nerd guys.
Good
nerd
call.
Guys like Asian. And
they like big breasts.
They like boobs.
Dishes, yeah.
So. Yeah, I imagine she's quite popular.
Oh.
Well, she's got her home. She's got her home like this whole thing set up. She like sets up at a thing. Her husband sets up at the cons.
Yeah,
and they sell cosplay accessories. But my point is, she's real snotty about. Did you make that all yourself?
Oh, really?
Like the people we were just talking about from Pacific Rim and from they had like they did this weird thing this week where they were. Cats from like the internet memes.
Okay,
but they were
right.
done up like from Cats, the musical.
Yeah,
so it was like Grumpy Cat and then some other cat, but like done like as cats from
right,
Cats, the musical.
Right.
Well, the whole thing is, she's like, "Did you make those bodysuits yourself?" And like the unitards they'd bought.
Right.
So they lost points for you know. It's like she's real nasty. Not nasty, but she's very snotty
and
standoffish. And then there was this other episode where she's like sitting there and they're like they're at dinner and they're talking and you know she doesn't like it. You know, we always talk about like girls who probably shouldn't be wearing certain outfits.
Yes.
Well, she's like, "Oh, that's terrible because they're bad ambassadors, and those appear, you know." And she's talking; they shouldn't be doing that, and you shouldn't be doing this, and like, you know, obviously, I shouldn't be like dressed like a Superman or whatever because I'd embarrass the cosplay community, you know. And it's like, and people are like, "But this is supposed to be for fun, and you're not supposed to be judged, and it's you know, this is supposed
right.
to be where everybody's you know, we're all one family, and this is just supposed to be for fun, and I don't." weird. It's interesting. Like, people take this stuff way too seriously.
Yeah, there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of that.
Great. Well, I mean, there's, well, she actually says the most cogent thing is someone says, well, why do you think it's like that? And she goes, because there's money involved. Because these people win prizes.
Yeah, there is. There's money involved.
And the other thing is, like, there's like a million freaking, like, Wizard World is like just gone crazy. There's like a billion Comic Cons.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I mean, because
well, if you watched, did you see any of the? I know you don't usually don't watch the reviews that we do on the site. Like, you don't use. We don't usually. You and I don't usually watch each other's reviews.
Well, no. Really.
But the Captain Action one I did for those guys for the New York Comic Con.
New York, yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned like every Comic Con, and I started plastering logos on the screen. At one point, I'm covered by logos.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, because it was just like.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's just.
But there's a ton of them.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like here's crap. The thing. When Springfield gets one, that's when you know it's over.
You know what I was thinking, though? You and I will probably go to the St. Louis Wizard World this next year because it's in March.
Okay.
And we're close, and it's like we missed it this last year because I didn't realize it was happening until it was too late.
Well, yeah, that was actually a plot point on this week's episode, is one of the cosplayers was hired by Wizard World to work at the St. Louis Comic-Con. And I was like, there was a St. Louis Comic-Con?
Last year was the first year. Apparently, it did really good, and apparently it was actually a really good little convention. Like, kind of like when C2E2 started. It wasn't... You know, there were still
well, you're not
going
to C2E2.
Well, no. Remember when the first C2E2 we went to, we were like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is going to be a nice little convention. And then this last time I went, which was the fifth year? Fourth year, maybe. I was like, holy crap, look how big this thing has gotten in just 4 years. I'm like, Jesus. So.
Yeah, I've been every year. So.
Yeah. You've watched it grow every year.
Yeah. I just, you know, well, you know me. I just hang out in the dealer hall. And
yeah, well, that's
although the first year I confused everybody because we were all sitting around planning out the thing. And I was like, we're going to go. There's this live reading from the Cleveland show with the actors, and we're all going to go to that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I go to it. I have a great time. I come out of that. You're like, where have you been? Yeah. We could find you. I'm like, I was where we all said we were going to be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. That's what happens.
Sorry to be unpredictable like that.
I know,
by following the plan.
I know. For
once, I'm a rogue agent that way.
Dave's a rogue agent. Yeah, as I say, usually those conventions we just go to and hang out in the dealer booth. But that first year, I know we went to a couple of toy panels.
Yeah.
And one of them was done by Round 2 because I remember Ed Cato was doing well, – that was before Captain Action had come back. But
was he the one with the models?
It was the one where they were giving the models and stuff away. And I remember that one because I won a model there. And did I give it to you?
No, I won a model.
I think you and I both won one.
We might have – yeah. Well, there wasn't a huge crowd, and it was toy trivia.
Yeah, it was toy trivia.
So,
and they were giving away like Polar Lights models, which were really cool models.
Yeah,
it was all the
lights. I got a Star Trek one that I gave to a friend of mine who's into Star Trek. So,
and I remember that we went to that. You went to the Cleveland thing.
I went to a couple other things.
We went to the Nerd City panel.
I didn't go to that. I don't think,
because I know this year we went to the Nerd City panel again before we left.
And I remember we checked out the cosplay thing was in this whole other room. Which
it was on this little stage on this.
There was like this huge room that had like the concession area.
It was
a different like, because they moved it the next year to where it is where it's been the last couple of years.
Yeah,
to that area which has like a concession area.
Right,
it's got the stage.
Yeah,
but I remember there was some kind of what was the other convention? There was some weird doctor's convention that we had to like go through.
No, there was
window salesman.
No. It was a kitchen utensil.
Yeah, well, I knew it was something weird.
Yeah, it was a kitchen utensil convention where all the guys that make kitchen utensils and equipment showed up, and you had to walk through kitchens and utensils. You had to go through the convention from one way that you walked in the building. So now it's taken up most of that convention hall, though.
The big one, yeah.
Yeah, so which is where the kitchen one was at, I think.
And then there was that weird underground place at the theater, and that's where Dan and I saw the Star Wars presentation.
Oh, yeah.
It's just weird. It's like that first time there were so many different rooms and so many different places to go to, and this time, ever since then, it seems like it's been more collapsed.
Yeah, like they've kind of put it all together.
Yeah.
Because I think it was confusing people where everyone had to go.
I guess.
Yeah. I remember trying to find the press room this year, and I could not find it.
It's like way in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I was
down
like, why?
Somewhere.
I was
yeah,
like, why is the press room all the way over here? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, see, that's one of the reasons I just bought badges this year. Yeah. I was like, I don't really want to do the long, lonely walk to the press room and back again.
Yeah.
That's just sad and annoying.
Well, but it wasn't even so much that. Like we got our badges.
Your feet are better than mine, so.
Well, we got our badges where you get your regular badges this year. They
put do you?
There.
Oh, swanky.
But I'm talking like I had to go to the press room to charge my phone this year because my phone was dying.
Oh yeah, I remember that story.
And my camera was dying, and well, I had to go find it to plug it all in, and it was just like, holy crap, why is this all the way over here? This sucks. So.
Cause.
I know. So anyway.
Well, that was a little diversion that killed some time.
Yeah, you know, Dave and I reminiscing. There was one major, I won't say major toy news. It was one.
I think it was pretty big. If you grew up in the 80s, I think it was pretty
and
big.
And it was something that Dave and I are already fans of this company because of what they've, you know, it's Super 7 and their reaction line. And because they've been doing the Alien line, well, they just signed a, last week, they signed a strategic partnership with Funko
yeah.
to distribute and produce their toys for them. Which is pretty major because Funko is huge. Everyone knows Funko because they make all the head boppers.
The head boppers, yeah.
And they are huge now. And it only makes sense for Super 7 to enter an agreement like this with them in order to take some of the pressure off their backs. But Funko and Super 7 announced the strategic partnership to debut and extend the 3¾-inch reaction line. So, of course, it's short for Retro Action, which is the brand that Super 7 created to kind of capture that vintage nostalgia of the minimally
the kind of Kenner type sculpt of the 80s. The minimalist.
And, of course, Funko's known for their plethora of licensed pop figures, the Wacky Wobblers. So, you know, the Super 7's Alien sets scheduled to hit this October. Well, they said one of the many benefits of the new partnership will be a lower product cost for
because they're producing more. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was like I was poking around on Big Bad, and all of a sudden, like the Alien set was $75.
The figures
went
down from $19.95 a figure to $14.95 a figure.
I was like, wait, that's not cool. But they said
for those that have already pre-ordered the set of five figures, which the pre-orders have been closed for some time.
Yeah.
So, and the pre-order was 100. Like, I got mine at Comic-Con. Dan got his at Comic-Con.
I got mine the day it went up. Yeah.
So we've all pre-ordered our sets. Because of the arrangement has been made, they're able to provide those pre-orders with an additional secret figure, which will not be available anywhere else and will only be made to the people who pre-ordered the line from Super 7 when they put the pre-orders up.
That's super cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. That's Super 7's way of saying thank you to everyone who believed in the project and pre-ordered ahead of time and as being a part of the excitement of the release. I'm curious to see who it's going to be.
I'm thinking maybe Dallas in the spacesuit.
Yeah.
That's an easy one to throw together at the last minute.
That's true, because I know they've been kind of sculpting new figures for the line in that style.
Have they?
Yeah, they talked about how they
did. They could just put something else on it then.
Yeah,
there's not a lot to do.
Not in the Alien, yeah.
If you go into Aliens, then I'm going to start to go back into Grumpy Dave mode, because I'm like,
right,
that was 86.
Well, yeah.
Do it like G.I. Joe's.
But you talk about Grumpy Dave mode, but then they announced the other style of what if possibilities they're going to do for Super 7, the reaction line.
Yeah.
They're doing, they've got the license for Escape from New York.
I want that Snake Plissken figure.
They've got the license for Predator.
That's kind of cool. I mean, it's cool because it goes along with the Alien figure.
Yep, but they said not only that fans can expect 12 to 14 series starting in 2014, starting with those two. But they can also look forward to the Terminator, Joss Whedon's Firefly and Buffy the Vampire.
Those will sell really
Vampire
well.
Vampire Slayer TV series, Goonies, Aliens, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And those were just the licenses
that
they were able to announce. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, you talk about, and we've talked about it in the past. Your grumpy dissatisfaction with them doing these retro style figures for licenses that are inappropriate. Aliens, I can kind of agree with you on.
Aliens is on the bubble because by then they were different style,
right? But I find it interesting that Super 7 is and Funko are going to do this with all of these different licenses that Funko basically has the license for to do this stuff for.
I'm surprised about Predator and Terminator because I would have thought NECA had those locked
NECA
up.
NECA still does, but if they're doing 3¾-inch figures, there it falls.
That's a different scale
license.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Because NECA has the license to do the six inch scale, and their ultimate scale or whatever. But
and I can, you know, the thing is, like, I can see you not wanting to make a big fuss about it because you're not really competing,
right?
So,
but I find it cool that yes, you know, Firefly and Buffy are early 2000 series, 90 series, but
yeah, those are totally inappropriate. But
the audience that they'll sell.
Oh, they'll sell.
And the way they do those figures, I think they'll look really cool in this Kenner-style line, this Kenner 70s-style line.
Yeah.
You know, Goonies will be awesome. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, I know. You're excited about that.
Dude, I can't wait. Even you know, people are going to be like, well, what are the sculpts going to look like? Dude, if they look like Kenner, who cares? I don't care.
Yeah.
They're going to be Kenner sculpted kind of.
You can tell who it is, but they won't have like super, you know, like detailed face sculpts. Although, you know, the thing is, you say Kenner sculpt, but I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan like me, the sculpts got more detailed as it went along.
Yeah.
I mean, like if the Aliens line was like an 84, 83 Kenner sculpt.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be happy about it, but I'd be less unhappy than if it was like a 70, 79 right, kind of sculpt. Right. Where it's just like generic face with the appropriate colored hair.
Right. And, you know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see. You know, they've already proven that the...
Keep in mind, I will buy the snot out of those Aliens figures. I'm going to gripe.
You'll buy the snot out of the Predator ones, too.
Maybe. I'm not that huge a fan of Predator. You know, I mostly get it because of Aliens versus.
Right. But, well, I figured that's why you'd buy them, to put the Predators against the
Aliens. I'm not super worried about the Predator. Like Snake Plissken and the Alien stuff are the main ones that I'm excited about.
Yeah. The Terminator stuff will be interesting. I've always wanted to see an endoskeleton version in the Kenner style.
It'd be neat to see, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the fascinating thing that Super 7 is doing with these lines. And we've complained about the Mego style. I mean, that's been your biggest complaint over the years, has been the Mego style figures redoing these.
Well, it's
married with children and stuff like that. It's kind of
it doesn't bother me if it's something I don't care about. It's when there's a toy line that I would have been excited about, and they do some inappropriate. With the Mego thing, yeah, it's just inappropriate time-wise. I don't know.
Right.
It's an antiquated. It's for kitsch value, and I get that, but it's just like they're doing Big Bang Theory Mego figures,
right?
And that actually that fits perfectly because they even did the episode with the Mego figures,
with the Mego Spock that talked to
that
Sheldon,
that fits because
yeah.
those guys collect those on the show, and that's appropriate.
That makes sense.
The Mego style, even the Venture Brothers stuff, as much as I irritated me, it made sense.
Right.
Because even though it's a modern show, there's so much of the sensibility of that show, and in fact, the backstory of that show. I mean, it's Johnny Quest on crack.
Right.
So, I mean, it is a show born of the late 70s, early 80s.
And I think at the time, I think Biff Bagpal...
It just irritates me, though, because I would have wanted, quote, real,
well,
modern
action figures. I think Biff Bagpal had to do the Mego style at the beginning with that license because that's what they had been doing and known for.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to do the 3¾ scale.
Didn't they stop those, though, or something?
I think
or
they're still
not
doing
do
them. They're just slowly coming out.
I don't know.
But...
I don't know. It's just there's a lot of licenses that I would really prefer, especially in that scale, modern. I would love an Aliens line that's G.I. Joe compatible with
right.
a modern G.I. Joe, and that would be my dream line. And it's just never going to happen.
Right.
Because everyone keeps taunting me. It's like, well, it's like NECA does them, but it's 6-inch scale. You know, Super 7 does them, but it's Kenner style. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
You need to get together and make the NECA look at the Super 7 thing, and I would give you all the monies.
Yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
I do find it funny that just this week, Playmates and Toys R Us started issuing press releases saying that the classics are only exclusively at Toys R Us, and it's like, yeah, we knew that at Comic-Con. You kind of said that, pretty sure.
Wait, I wasn't paying attention. The classics,
the,
what?
The classics, the retro figures that are coming out, the reissues of the 90s line, the original Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, we're pretty sure that those are, those were, yeah.
I actually had no idea, but I wasn't paying attention.
I gotcha.
In the larger scale, I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, no, I've seen those at Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Toys R Us is getting everything these days.
Yeah, they are.
I think they're the only one that even care about toys anymore.
And I usually don't pay attention to Lego, but have you been paying attention to all the stuff that's been getting to the review stage for Lego Kuso?
No.
Like, you know, we got our Back to the Future that way.
Yeah, I know there was some other set there was a Jurassic Park set.
There's a Jurassic Park set that reached the support.
Did that actually get through?
That's what I'm looking for
now. I will buy the stuffing out of that
set. As we're talking, it got to the review stage.
Ah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is if there's a way to tell.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because the Back to the Future thing was very high profile.
Right.
And the one before that was Minecraft, which is very high profile.
Right.
Among the younger... The kids today, the young folk. But the Back to the Future one, I think, was very high profile. And so it sparked this whole, hey, let's do cool stuff and get on the Kuso thing.
I know, pretty sure Ghostbusters made it through.
There's a Goonies set.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad the Goonies still hasn't made. It's only got 789 supporters, but...
There's a Ghostbusters one?
Yeah, there was a bunch.
The Firehouse?
Yeah, there was a bunch
that
of...
That one Firehouse that I showed you that picture of? No, it's not the same one, but that's a heartbreaker.
I will find it.
Because that thing was amazing.
There is one that made it to... There's
Boy, they did a lot of Ghostbusters sets.
I'm trying to find.
So how out of your mind would you be if Super 7 announced Kenner style Ghostbusters?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Like Kenner style vintage. Oh god, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would just be I don't know what I'd do. I'd be like, holy crap.
You'd be like, I will give you all my money.
Yeah.
Give me the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I wonder. There's the.
Actually, you know what would be cool? Because while you're searching on the internet, I will speak to entertain the audience. We gave Mattel such a hard time for producing or for planning to produce and never actually going through with it. Just the figures for Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, right.
But there are already existing DeLoreans in the 4-inch scale. So if Super 7 just did a Doc and Marty figure,
right?
You know, they would clean up. I would buy those just to put in the DeLoreans I already have. It wouldn't matter if they did one, it would be cool. But if they didn't do one, it wouldn't be as much of a letdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that would be a good license to do.
That'd be cool.
Because they already have the cars made.
Yeah. God. There was a bunch.
And you're still searching.
I'm still searching. Their site is not easy
to navigate.
No, apparently not. Supported.
Why is someone doing an Iron Man? They've done those toys.
I don't think it got...
You can go to any store.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff... It's not easy to find the stuff that's actually gotten support.
Well, I believe you that Ghostbusters got support.
Yeah, there were two different Ghostbusters sets that got 10,000 supporters. That's got 184.
No, there's one with the actual, like, the famous door.
Yeah.
We're looking at Jurassic Park. God, there's a ton of Jurassic Park stuff.
The most supported stuff.
I guess it didn't go through.
No,
because there's one that's like it's got a T-Rex, it's got the Jeep, and it's got the Jurassic Park doors.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but it won't.
Yeah, there you go. That's it right there. It's number one.
Yeah, well, let me click on it.
Well, it's probably got through already. The Road to Oz, The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, there was Legend of Zelda, Macross one,
Bricksoria. The train. Ah, cute.
Yeah, they've done a lot of the stuff is starting to get more and more supporters.
Well, like I said, I think the Back to the Future set was very high profile.
Yeah, here we go. Most supported. There we go. Now I can get to it. Yeah, the trains. There's the Muppets is slowly getting.
Oh yeah.
It's got 3,892, but it needs 10,000 supporters.
Yeesh.
It's
just a ton of minifigs.
Yeah, which fine by me.
Yeah, I know.
I'd buy.
Dude, Lego misses the boat on that so big.
Oh, I know. Yes, they do. Let's see. List. It's interesting to see the stuff that's actually like the Macross thing's got 9,000 supporters.
That doesn't surprise me.
Legend of Zelda's got 7,000. They're trying to do a modular Apple store in their in that line. It's very interesting. Like just scrolling through this site, you find all of this stuff and you're like, holy crap, why aren't more people supporting this? I think a lot of this stuff like the Jurassic Park, the Ghostbusters lines that have gone through have had massive, massive amounts of support from like geek blogs
Facebook.
And stuff. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them on Facebook, and I'm just like, oh, like, really? I'm like, that's pretty interesting. I kind of hope, like, they don't do their review segments until, I think, this month. I think sometime in September is when they actually sit down to review the ones that got 10,000 supporters to see if it's, you know, something they can build and something they can do.
I think Muppets has a couple of strikes against them. I hate to tell you. First of all, they would be a ton of specialized head sculpts.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's owned by Disney. I'm not sure if Lego...
Lego has stuff with Disney. They're doing they're doing stuff like the
Disney Lone Ranger.
They're doing the Duplo sets with like the Little Mermaid and all that.
Oh, you're right. You're right. They got it. Okay.
Yeah. So
never mind.
Yeah. So they're getting there. Yeah, I guess once they hit support, you can't actually click on them anymore. That's really weird. That's kind of crappy because that's the ones I want to look at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that that got support. So there's a lot of stuff going through. If you kind of scroll through on the Kuso Lego site, there's just so much stuff that's getting 10,000 supporters. That's getting through to, like, I didn't realize the stuff that has been supported. And this, a lot of this, I don't know. Did they just start doing the Kuso stuff, or has it been going on for a while?
I have no idea. It's probably been on for a little while, and it just got noticed.
Really? Because I didn't notice. I had no recollection of it until
I heard about it with the Minecraft.
The Minecraft is when I first heard about it too, and was like, "Oh, okay." And well, the first four products: one was a Shinkai 6500, one was a Hayabusa satellite, the third one was Minecraft, the fourth one was DeLorean. So those are the first four things they've done like this.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting. In review. See, they've got Lego review results on here that show, like, the UCS Sandcrawler didn't pass review. They're looking at the possibility of a set based on Portal. The winner of the 2012 fall review was the Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity Rover. The stuff that's in review right now is Space Troopers and Purdue Pete. The next review that's coming up, they're doing a Land Rover Defender 110, Legend of Zelda, Andy Bug Droid, the Android by Google, and an exosuit. So, meh.
Where's my Jurassic Park set?
Yeah, I know. It's not not going to hit
the review.
Give
me my Jurassic Park set.
I will buy it. Oh, here's the Ghostbusters one that hit 10,000 supporters. The one that came with the four busters. Yeah, the
Ecto one.
Yeah. But they're also talking about, like, the Firehouse, Gozers, Walter Peck.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to be fair, even Mattel did Walter Peck.
Yeah, true. Kind of hope that maybe Lego will do something like that, because we should be nearing another, pretty close to another anniversary.
30th.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah. Oh, Doctor Who's Escape from the Cybermen's only got 25 supporters.
That's never going to happen because they're locked up with another license.
Yeah, I know. But interesting stuff, man. Interesting
that one I know. They're locked up with another license. Like, now I'm sitting there going, yeah, they did Toy Story Lego, stupid.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put that in the comments.
Yeah, that's right. Those Super Alloy figures from Play Imaginative. Remember we looked at some of those right during the Comic-Con coverage just before? The Iron Man, the Batman. I guess they're doing a RoboCop.
Looks like they're doing both RoboCops based on the logos.
Yep, RoboCop.
The good one and the new one.
Yeah. The good one and the new one.
From what I've heard, that new one is terrible.
That's what I hear, it's kind of sad, but, you know, what did you expect from...
I expected it would be terrible.
Yeah.
And I was right. Well, now what is that?
Now
what are you doing?
No, most of the pictures from Super Alloy I'm looking at from... they were just at a convention overseas... and I couldn't tell you what convention it was. Yeah, these are the Batman,
diecast. Yeah.
The RoboCop makes more sense than like, the Supergirls.
Weren't those like Comic Con exclusives?
They were Comic Con exclusives. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we talked about those, and I was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, and they were stupid.
Giant metal Batman figures. I'm okay.
They were stupid. Spencer.
You're right. The RoboCop ones make more sense.
Yeah, than the superheroes like Superman and Batman and all that. They don't make a whole lot of sense.
Batman, I could almost fudge it. Superman doesn't make no sense.
Yeah. So,
Steel Warriors.
Yeah, somebody posted a picture of Steel Warriors in package on 80s Toy Trader. Not that maybe they were for sale, but that was something. You would not believe how many of those that I saw this weekend at the flea market. I saw, but you had it. It was, I know, it was Steel Warriors, and it was, if I could pull this picture up.
The Pulverizer?
It was the Masher.
Yeah, the Masher is like the common one.
Yeah, it was the Masher, and I saw the Masher three times.
Wow.
Each time in varying degrees of degradation and busted up, just rustiness. And they all wanted,
Way too much?
No, they just thought it was a regular vehicle, so they wanted like $5 for it.
Ah.
Yeah, because they didn't know what the heck they had. So.
Oh, well, if you see one again that's got the guns, even if it's in crummy shape.
Grab it for the guns.
I do need the guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, that was the thing I saw the most of this weekend was all of those. I was like, holy crap. I'm like,
yeah, that one's like super stupid common.
Yeah, I was like
the, well, the rest of them are kind of hard to find. But
yeah, I was like, well, that's interesting. I always like going on Facebook. If no one's a part, if you're not a member of the 80s toy collectors trading post.
I'm actually not.
Yeah, I would suggest go there because that's where I got my Transformers Activity Center. I got some from that one, and I got from Action Figure Identification is another good one too because those guys a lot of times sell the parts they're trying to ID. And that's where I got like I got a replacement backpack for Turbo that worked for my Rambo series and
good.
I got the backpack to one of the ninjas too thrown into that deal for nothing. So yeah, a lot of these guys like just sell the stuff that they get. Okay. Sometimes they keep it, but if you ask them, if you PM and say, "Hey, are you looking to sell
if you what?
If you PM them,
oh, okay.
Yeah, what'd you think I said? Horrible things?
Not horrible.
Oh, okay.
Just will cost you extra.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, so lots of interesting stuff on Facebook. That's how I spend some of my day.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's just watching people post stuff and going, ooh, neat. So yeah, other than that, not a whole lot's been going on in the toy world, really. It's been kind of dull.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, we had Toy Fair, we had Comic-Con. It's just now it's just running out the clock until Christmas.
Until Toy Fair comes around.
Until Toy Fair comes around again. Yeah, it's basically getting everything out that, you know, they need to get out before Christmas.
Yeah. True.
I mean, like, in terms of major toy lines, hopefully the Hobbit second wave will come out. Toys R Us exclusive.
Yeah.
Hopefully figures for Thor will come out, and maybe they'll do a push with some of the other Marvel lines.
Yeah, you never know. Not with them, well, you never know.
Yeah, not with them, you never know.
Yeah.
So beyond that, I mean, 66 hit. 66 hit like a bomb, man. You cannot find that stuff. Yeah,
which is weird because I've seen so many different people, like, I guess there's just varying degrees of quality on those figures. Like, some of the sculpts are kind of...
Riddler is off. It's not a bad sculpt. It's just off. You know what I mean? It's a well-done sculpt.
Does the Joker look like he has no neck? Is that what I hear? I haven't seen one in person. I've just seen people's reviews, and I can't tell, but it...
He looks like his shoulders may be hunched up. It didn't bother me personally.
Really?
Put it that way.
I gotcha.
But I'm trying to imagine... I don't know.
Well, look. I got pictures on my phone. Oh, okay. Yeah, I noticed that stuff hit really hard, and a lot of the new Transformer stuff's been hitting and selling out pretty quickly.
I saw someone's almost sent you a text today because I saw some of those comic book ones at Target.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
See?
Well, I didn't know if you were really serious or not.
Some of them.
You have that annoying habit of
saying,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I see what they're saying about the Joker. It didn't bother me. He just looks like his shoulders are hunched up like he's laughing. He's in mid-laugh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not bad.
Not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. Yeah, I see the Frank Gorshin's kind of off.
Well, he's all kind of like just serious faced, which doesn't fit for that character.
No, not at all. We did go to a Five Below in Chicago while we were there, just because we stopped to get.
That thing.
We stopped to get to go to the restroom. We looked across and we're like, oh, there's a Five Below. And Carrie's like, you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'll go poke through the Transformers because they've been getting like Transformers Prime figures, cases of them. I'm glad I went in there because I found a Bumblebee, which I didn't really want, but I was like, I don't have a Bumblebee. I want a Bumblebee. He's like $5. Who was the other one? I found the repaint of the Jazz from that line that's a Decepticon. I can't think of his name. And they painted him funky colors and gave him a new head sculpt. And he looks really cool. And I'm like,
is that Nightbeat?
It might be Nightbeat.
No, I don't think it is. But
and then I found one I didn't think I was going to find. I found an RC.
Okay.
From the first issue, like the first wave of it. I was like, RC. I'm like, oh.
I didn't know you were looking for that.
I was like, I really wanted an RC because I finally finished watching it.
I've got one in storage somewhere because when they first came out, I picked one up.
Oh, the Transformers Prime one?
Yeah. Oh. The blue motorcycle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one somewhere.
She's a neat figure. Eh. I was really pleased with her. I'm like, she's really cool. So I found that stuff. And then we found a bookstore that I've never been to. What the heck was a bookstore called? It's a chain. And it's, Half Price Books. Have you ever been there in Chicago while you've been there?
No.
They got some interesting stuff. Let me tell you what.
Because
they've got a ton of action figures.
Wow.
Yeah, the prices are kind of all over the place. Prices are kind of all over the place on action figures. They sell board games. Like, imagine this. Imagine
it sounds a little like what we...
Imagine Barnes & Noble.
Yes, I was about to say.
And then morph it with Kill In Store.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's what it was. It was a bookstore video game. It was a
so it's kind of like a Slackers almost,
but just with more books. More books, yeah.
Because that's the one thing Slackers doesn't really have is books.
Right, but they took everything. Video games, action figures, board games. They took everything. Yeah. And it was ridiculous because we were like, Carrie and I were like, oh my God, what is this store? And this is amazing. I walked out of there with a Harry Houdini book that I hadn't read.
Huh.
For like everything in the store was 20% off because of the holidays. So it was like, it was an $8 book. I think I got it for whatever 20% off $8 is. But we were looking through the they take magazines too. Like people trading old stacks of magazines. And we found a whole stack of old Tome Arts. And in that stack of Tome Arts, in that stack of Tome Arts, I found one of them that had the History of Kenner insert in it, like part 10, which covered like Police Academy and RoboCop and all that. You realize people on eBay are selling those for like $18 a piece, just those little inserts that are like, they're not even 10 pages.
Mm.
And I'm like, I want to finish those off because I have like the first five.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I know they went all the way up through Kenner's demise. Even past their buying, because this one talks about them being bought by Hasbro, because there was a bidding war between Mattel and Hasbro to buy them, and Hasbro won out. So it even goes to that, but it's supposed to go farther. I think there's like 17 parts or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts, and I'm like, I want all these. Well, yeah, people on eBay want way too much money for them, and the people that I've sent message to and said, that will accept best offers, I'm like, would you do like, I'd be willing to pay like what the cover price was for this, which is like $5. Or, oh, no, these are hard to find. These are rare. Nobody kept these. Go to Tome Art's website, which is still active, and you can buy back issues of every one of those on there for $7.
Okay.
So screw you people on eBay.
So why aren't you buying them for $7?
I just had the money, and I paid $1 for that one. So,
right.
Yeah, so you know me. I'm like, oh, I'll pay $1 for that. And Eric's just,
I'll buy that for $1.
I'll buy that for $1. Yeah, so good times.
Yeah,
good times. And then I found out last week you and Dan were supposed to come over to help to finish filming.
I wasn't supposed to. You you basically extended the offer.
Well, no, I was like, hey, you can come over to my night too. And you're like, oh, I thought it was just for you and Danny. And I was like, what?
I didn't put it that way.
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, come over.
You were like, Dan's coming over, and if you want to come over, you can. I'm like,
mm. Yeah, I was like, if you want to come over, I can use your help. And you're like, okay.
You didn't say that. If you had said anything like that, I would have come.
I said that.
No, you didn't say that.
I said
that. If there had been any sort of like, it was just an open invitation.
Ah.
It was not I need your help. If you had said that, I would have come. I would have come if you had said you needed me.
But remember,
I wish you had said that.
Oh, well, sorry.
That's okay.
But you had picked up a couple weeks ago my New Adventures Volume 2 at Discreet Play.
Sure, why not?
And Dan and I were talking about while he was here, and I was like, I still need She-Ra Season 2 Volume 1. That was the last one I need. That's the last one they did for She-Ra because it was just that Season 2 Volume 1 is it. That's the rest of She-Ra.
Okay.
And he's like, I wish I'd have known you were looking for those because Discreet Play had them all. I was like, when? He's like, 2 days ago.
That doesn't surprise me because when I got you that, it was weird because they had everything. It was like volume two of everything.
Everything.
Except the She-Ra one wasn't She-Ra. It was like the best of She-Ra or something.
Yeah,
it was
the best of She-Ra, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was volume two.
Yeah, She-Ra season two volume one is the one that I need still.
I'm sure they got like a huge thing and they were just putting them out as they got around to it kind of thing.
Could be. And I called them. When did I call them? I called them Friday, I think. Thursday or Friday after that. And I was like, hey, can you check on a DVD for me? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, do you guys have this She-Ra Season 2 Volume 1? He's like, I had it 3 days ago, dude, and it sold. And I was like, oh. I was like, if I had just called while Danny was still there, I probably would have found it. But that's all right. Very sad. So if anyone finds She-Ra Season 2 Volume 1, for less than I don't know.
Is it season 2 volume 1?
Season 2 volume 1 is the last.
Okay.
The
okay. Last okay. 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 I gotcha. Just want to make sure that the.
But it goes on.
Since you're now begging the listeners, I thought maybe we should be specific and clear.
Well, it goes on eBay for like $90. I'm like, I'm not paying $90 for that.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Like that's ridiculous. Not when all of these disc replays and stuff are getting them for next to nothing. So if somebody finds it in their disc replay for like $10-$12, pick it up. I'm good for it. Yeah. I'll pay you back. You just gotta send me a message. Like, I have no problem paying for that in shipping, so I will do that in a heartbeat. Okay, well, enough about us. We've told enough interesting tales today.
Okay, sure.
Let's answer some fan questions.
Fan questions, Dave.
All right. We've got some good fan. Well, we've got a couple good fan questions this week.
Okay.
The first one comes from Nightmare10880. He says, hey, guys, I really enjoyed last week's episode. I hope that you're feeling better, Duvall. I am. Thank you very much. We discussed that. I'm doing much better.
Next question.
I was wondering, this isn't really related to the toy. Let me try that again. I was wondering, this really isn't a toy related question, but I really love the podcast you and Dave did on cartoons in the past. Dave and Duvall's Toys and Days, Dave and Duvall, the real. Oh, my God. The anime.
Wow.
I have too many shows that we do running through my head. The animated world of Dave and Duvall. Are there any plans to bring it back or do something like that? I think you guys mentioned in the past, but I'm not quite sure. Yes, actually, Dave and Doss are doing a new version of that show.
We're working on it.
They're working on it, and they've been recording kind of a library of the program. So instead of doing them on a weekly basis, because Doss is kind of at times a hard guy to peg down because he works a full-time
job.
Well,
no, it's also he's got to sit down and watch all the episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So it takes some time.
So it's going to be probably a monthly thing.
Yeah.
And we're building up a... Like we're like with board, we're building up a catalog before we start,
right?
So that we have a little bit of a surplus, so we're not always having to scramble.
Yeah. So I've got quite a few episodes on my computer.
We've got a couple, and I still need to sit down and do the next one, like watch the next one, and coordinate with Doss. We gave Doss a little time to cool off and breathe and
So yeah, it is coming back though. It is gonna be
there's
if not by the end of this year, next year for sure it'll be.
Oh yeah.
So. Also on that same track, one thing I like to do at least one Saturday of the month when I didn't have anything going on was I like to have an old school Saturday morning where I watch old cartoons, whether on YouTube, Netflix, or my personal DVD collection, and was wondering if either of you ever do anything like that. Also something I love to do is watch old commercials on YouTube, as I find them one of the truest marks of what was both really going on in pop culture as well as what the suits interpreted to be popular at any given time. And I was wondering, is there any ads, and not just toy-related, that stick out in your mind that you remember fondly? He says, for me, several Masters, Universe, and Turtle ads bring back very pleasant memories. Do you... You've got quite a few... You've got some cartoon DVDs. Not...
A few.
A few. Not nearly like my...
No, not like your collection at all. No. And to answer his question, no, I really don't do that. I don't really kind of sit down on a Saturday morning and...
Unless you count Dave's purging of Doctor Who episodes.
That's not a Saturday morning thing. That's just like I get the discs and then I watch them and then I'm done.
That's true.
And that's how I do anything. That's how I did Breaking Bad. Yeah. That's how I did Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
I get this idea. I want to watch X.
Right. And then
I buy the collection and then
devour them
and Next Generation especially, like I literally miss it.
Yeah.
Like I really do. I really enjoyed. I've got one of the soundtracks that I listen to in my car. Whenever it gets to the end music, I always kind of miss... I really miss that show. I really enjoyed... Because I was also... I was talking to a friend of ours, or texting a friend of ours as I was watching, because he's a big Star Trek fan.
Right.
And it was fun, because, I'm like, oh, snap, he just shot that guy and disintegrated his butt. I mean, I was having a blast. I almost thought, I came this close to joining Twitter.
Really?
Just to, like live tweet as I watched episodes.
Star Trek. That's funny.
But, I've done that with Next Generation. I've done that with Breaking Bad. I'd like to buy up a bunch more Doctor Who's. I've kind of run through all the Dalek episodes.
Yeah.
So, and I don't really like the Cybermen that much. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, but I don't actually sit down on a Saturday morning and watch cartoons anymore. I just don't. To me, that's one of the passings of... time, because it's like that's not a thing that happens anymore.
No, it's not. And the problem is a lot of the tunes that especially that you and I watch, and I'm sure that Nightmare watched.
Well, what it is because of Nickelodeon and right. Disney Channel, and those things run cartoons all the time. Yeah. So it made Saturday less special.
Yeah. And I look, I've gone back and watched some stuff on Netflix. Like I tried to watch the Karate Kid series is on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
the animated. Oh, it's awful.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's bad. I can't watch it. I got halfway through the first episode and went, oh God, no. I'm done.
Oh, even G.I. Joe is terrible.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I love G.I. Joe, and it's just unwatchably bad. I mean, it's watchably bad in a camp sort of way, but not
exactly. Some of the animated shows from the '80s just do not hold up. Like even as much as people will probably hate me for saying this, the Turtles, the original animated Turtles series, a lot of that doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
Beyond like the pilot, which is still really cool to watch. But after a while, it just starts to get really campy and silly, and it's just you watching it going, especially towards the later years as the series started to wind down and they lost money for producing it and a different company took over, and it's just like it's unwatchable. When they started mutating into other things like big monsters, it's just like, this series went to hell in a handbasket quick.
And, I know I've told the story before, probably a long time ago, about how when Cartoon Network first started, you know, they had all these cool cartoons.
Oh, it was great. So, it was old Hanna-Barbera stuff.
But they were all, you know, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Thunder the Barbarian. That's my favorite show of all time. Oh, my God, it's Godzilla. That's my favorite show of all time. And they were awful. Yeah. They were just, you're like, oh, my God, these are unwatchably bad.
They're bad. So, as for commercials, do you watch any?
I don't go back. I mean, when I used to do stuff for PCN and we kind of skirted the YouTube law and inserted stuff, there were some commercials. The Definitely Dinosaurs commercial was great with the little kid going, rah, scared you, didn't I? And there were some old G.I. Joe commercials that were just wacky, you know. Like, they would do these weird variations of the theme. And I just remember the Destro one had, like, a crazy variation of the theme. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, that was the thing I remember the most about commercials is doing episodes of That New Toy Smell and going back to find commercials for The Mad Scientist and stuff like that. We did a lot of that. We did a lot of that stuff for that. So, I mean, that was the best way to do it. Like, I think the first Captain Action review I did uses the original, which I got permission from, of course, Captain Action Enterprises to use it since they own that footage. But, yeah, that uses the original Captain Action commercial from the 60s. Captain Action, da-da-da. That's fun. As for cartoons, every once in a while I'll pull out a disc and watch it. I don't really – I use Netflix more as kind of like noise cancellation.
Yeah.
So it's on. Like, I've been burning through – like not the whole seasons. They have collections, but Dirty Jobs is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And instead of doing like the whole seasons, they do like these 14-episode collections of the seasons, like the best of episodes they've done for those seasons. So I've been burning through those, and I think there's like 9 or 10 of those altogether. So that's been fun for me because I like Mike Rowe, and he cracks me up. Because he's a very funny individual.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use that. I use, you know, Netflix for that, really. Some cartoon stuff I'll watch. Like, I finally finished Transformers Prime because they updated with the last season that was on. Finally, it's up on Netflix. So I burned through that last season and caught up to Prime before the Rise of the Predaking comes out on DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
To finish up, which is sad that they're going to cancel that's the last of that series because it was really good.
Well, I mean, that's the hub for you. They took out Renegades real quick.
Yeah, well,
which was a good show.
Yeah, but then you've got like, you know, Friendship is Magic.
Well, that's like the only thing they're keeping going because that's got a whole weird, bizarre, mushrooming.
Yeah,
out of control. Yeah. But yeah, I don't do Netflix, but I mean, I like if certain shows on demand, I'll do. Like I've been catching up with Face Off this season, which is the sci-fi one,
right?
Where they do special, and I like that show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
And that's kind of how because they kept having constant commercials for Heroes of Cosplay, and that's why I started watching that.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, my girl Cherry's into that, so I was curious.
Right.
I hope she never sees that show. Oh, God, that would just be.
It turns out bad.
No, it doesn't turn out bad, but I mean, that'll just be some other rabbit she starts chasing. It's like, honey, no.
Yeah, no, can't.
You need to build a base. No, but I mean, no, we shouldn't get on this in the air, but you need to build a base. You need to have a solid base, not chase every thing that looks neat.
Crap. While we're talking about that on sci-fi real quick, I just wanted to mention this. I watched, what did I watch last week?
Is it going to be Sharknado?
No, Sharknado's not on there yet. Hold on, I'll find it.
It's on DVD.
Battle Dogs is what I watched.
Battle Dogs?
And it had, it was a werewolf movie.
Oh, of course. Wait, Battle Dogs? There's another one, I can't remember what it's called now, but I don't think it's called Battle Dogs.
It's called Battle Dogs. The concept of it is all of Manhattan is quarantined when the lupine virus spreads like wildfire, turning innocent civilians into ravenous wolfmen. Nothing short of a nuclear blast can stop the monstrous virus unless someone finds a cure. And it's one of those sci-fi B-movies, which was actually pretty good, minus the werewolves themselves, which are kind of campy. But
yeah.
Ariana Richards is in it for Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, her.
Yeah, she's in it. And I was like, I thought she retired, and she's like, got a PhD in something now, and I'm like, well, it's cool, I guess, because this came out this year, so it's cool that she's coming back to acting, because she's still fun to watch.
Well, the other kid came back for Retaliation.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the guy that he was Mouse.
Yep.
Sniper guy.
But, yeah, I watched Battle Dogs, and I was like, some of these sci-fi movies, some of these sci-fi
Siffy. No, they're not all terrible. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that just didn't get financing or didn't get picked up by distributors, and so sci-fi picks them up.
Yeah.
Cheap, and some of them are. There was a sequel to the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Yep,
that was actually better than the Dungeons. I mean, it was a Dungeons and Dragons movie, but it was the sequel to the one that actually got released in theaters because it had the main bad guy was the henchman guy from the actual movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it was actually pretty good.
Boo! That movie was horrible.
No, the sequel.
Oh, the sequel was good.
Dragon King or whatever.
He says. Also, I got my SH Figure Arts Green Ranger in the mail last week, and he is an incredibly highly detailed figure, and I highly recommend him and look forward to getting the rest of the Rangers. Over the last 2 years, we've seen a continued increase in Japanese companies announcing toys based on various properties that fans have been dreaming of for years. It started out with properties that were born in Japan, such as Godzilla, Dragon Ball Z, Power Rangers, various Nintendo-owned properties, and most recently Sailor Moon. But we've also seen an increase the last year in more American-born properties like Dark Knight Trilogy, Avengers, various Disney-related properties.
Keep in mind that stuff is huge in Japan.
Especially Toy Story getting highly detailed and articulated figures that collectors desire from companies like PlayArts, PlayArts Kai, Rebeltech, Figma, and Bandai Japan with their SH Figure Arts and Monster Arts lines. With Mattel and Hasbro aiming more towards the kids' market, you guys see the Japanese companies getting a bigger foothold on the collectors. It's already happened. Well, It happened 5 years ago when Hot Toys mushroomed and ballooned.
If that early.
Yeah.
Or I mean, that late. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's they've had a foothold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, does anybody remember Dragon?
Yes, yeah. I do, actually.
Yeah, that was huge because it was when they were doing military stuff.
Yeah, that was
and
big.
They did some license figures. That was huge. And that was late. That was 2000s, 90s. Late yeah, 90s, 2000s. So the Japanese market, the import stuff has had a huge, huge hold on collector on the part of collector market for a long time now. The reason a lot of people are just now starting to see it is because they're just now starting to do these high-profile licensed lines or starting to do these fan-favorite lines like Sailor Moon and Power Rangers. They've been doing lines based on animes for years. Like, yeah. I've got a whole collection of Love Hina figures downstairs that I think are Play Arts, or I think one company, and they're highly detailed and posable. And those are from back when I had Dan and Naval's Toys and Collectibles open, which is what this show derives its name from the old toy store. So those have been around. I've had those for years, and those have been a huge, huge deal in Japan and in the collector market here for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I think it's less that it's a new thing and more that. I mean, it's always been a big hobby in Japan. It's always been a big thing in Japan. And it's just now, I think because of the collector market's become a big thing in America, there's a lot more importing and buying it. And the more that we're aware of what they have,
right,
the more that we want to import it. So it becomes a, you know,
yeah,
it's building. It didn't just pop out of the ether. It's been there.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. I agree with Dave. It's becoming larger and larger now.
Yeah.
As more of these import companies start to break, like with Hot Toys partnering with Sideshow to get their product.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like Hot Toys used to be this crazy thing. And it was like, I remember I was super impressed that you had Hot Toys.
Yeah.
That was like a grail piece kind of thing. It's like, you have Hot Toys. And now they do stuff for just everything. Now it's one of those things. When a big high profile movie comes out, there are the Hot Toys.
Yep. And they
people
sell.
Buy them. Yeah. People
love them.
Yeah,
I mean, Hot Toys started out as this weird amalgam company of doing figure-based model kits, basically. Yeah. You know, they did fully painted model kits that were figures. That's where the alien stuff started.
Yep.
That's, you know, the Power Loader with Ripley was a model kit that was posable. You've got a bunch of the little pop together model kits that are posable. The snap kits, yeah. But then they morphed into doing actual full-scale six you know, 1/6 scale figures. I would say sometime in 2006-07, maybe.
Something like that. Again, shortly before
Iron Man hit.
Yeah, because they did Iron Man. That was like their biggest, highest profile.
Because they had done Batman Begins and The Dark Knight before that.
Okay.
So the kind of route, right around there is when the 6th scale really took off. And they started to go back and do Aliens and more stuff. So.
But again, now it's a commonplace thing. People just buy the Hot Toys figures.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. If you look at Big Bad Toy Store's pre-orders, about pretty much half of them are all import stuff.
Yeah, and they get all kinds of crazy stuff that you don't even know. I remember there was a for the third Transformers movie, there was a Soundwave that only got released in Japan, and Big Bad had it for like 5 seconds.
Yep, and it was gone.
It was gone.
I don't remember which one that was though. That was
It was the it's the one that came with a figure. I can't remember what those are called. Human Alliance or whatever. Or
yes. Yeah, the Human Alliance, the ones that came with the cars, yeah. Those were the Human Alliance.
And it was that Soundwave, when he was the car.
Right.
Because a lot of people didn't even realize that was Soundwave.
Yeah, until I didn't realize it again until I watched the movie for like a third or fourth time. And well, because like, it's the
tentacles. It is the tentacles.
Yeah. Like, oh, they do call him Soundwave. Fair enough.
Well, okay. I just figured it out on my own.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. And the last question, Slave Leia Stalker says, thanks for keeping me entertained over the last few days, guys. I injured my back the other day, so I've been spending a lot of time resting up and have been catching up on all your podcasts from the first one in 2011 onwards. He says, I didn't discover your new website or what became of you guys after you left PCN until a few months back, and so I missed a whole year's worth of podcasts. There's some good ones and some bad ones in there.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
It's a big mixed bag. He says, what's cool is to see Duvall's changing view on Doctor Who from Novus to fully-fledged Whovian. Anyway, listening to your older shows triggered up some questions. Novice. Shut up, Dave. My grammar good. Anyway, listening to your older shows triggered up some questions, with some of which follow on from what has been asked in the deep, dark past. First, how do you think the profile of toy collecting has changed over the last year? Now that Toy Hunter has been on TV, do you think non-collectors' eyes have opened up and toy collecting doesn't appear so underground or weird to the average person anymore? A few years back, my ex-girlfriend kept on making a big point about how I was, how shall we say, not playing with a full deck because I was collecting toys. Hey, I made a mistake. I was young. She was tall, blonde, and Scandinavian. She's an ex now, so I saw the light eventually. Now when I'm at work with my latest eBay purchases to post out after I finish work, my colleagues ask, what's inside? And the conversation turns to, hey, have you seen the show with the guy buying toys? Even Yahoo News in the UK has a pretty positive news article about a vintage PAL toy vinyl cape Jawa going up for auction last week, but then followed it today with an article about a guy collecting Barbies under the heading of Crazy Obsession, which seems more in the line of with the philosophy of the collector and invention show. He says, what's the take you guys have on this, and what has been your experience or interaction about toy collecting with non-toy collectors since Toy Hunter aired on television?
Well, first of all, I think it's less specifically toys. I mean, I've said it over and over again, geek culture is ascendant.
Yes.
And toy collecting is just a beneficiary of that.
And it was one of the last beneficiaries.
But it's been there. I mean,
yeah.
I do think Toy Hunter raised the profile. Raised the profile, and that's good and bad. I mean, whenever your profile is raised, that's a good and bad thing. I think I told the story about my exterminator. Either the exterminator or the furnace guy. Came in, went down to the basement, and he was like, yeah, I remember this place, and there was a show. You ever watch this show? And I'm like, Toy Hunter? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I was just thinking about you the other day, because, I saw that show.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that, have seen that show and changed their opinions. It's still... It's never going to be the cool thing that cool people do, I don't think.
No, but I mean, if you've noticed the shows that you and I have gone to over the past couple of years since Toy Hunter really hit it big.
It's,
I mean, they're going into season 3, so it's been 3 years now.
We haven't been doing that this long.
Well, but I mean, the first one was 2011, was when Toy Hunter premiered.
All right.
In 2012, we're in 2013. We've been
doing this thing for...
Yeah, we've been doing it since 2011.
Yeah, because I remember we got the pilot beforehand.
Right. I think you and I have seen an upswing in dealers at a lot of these shows, of new dealers that we've never seen before who look like they're just clearing out.
I guess.
Apparently I pay more attention than you do.
You pay more attention to the people. I pay attention to the toys.
Yeah, Dave pays attention to the toys. I pay attention to the people bringing in the toys. I've seen a lot of people.
And then you talk to them and interact with them.
Yeah. I think I just heard Carrie laugh from the other room.
So just like, give me my thing and take my money and move on to the next table.
Gosh dang it, that's how I make my best deals. Is
I appreciate friends. That, but it's not worth it.
No,
it's not.
Not worth it to you?
Have to talk to people, look them in the eye, and interact with them.
We see a lot of people still to this day whining, complaining that show is ruining the marketplace for toys, and people are asking outrageous amounts for stuff that aren't worth that much. Well, apparently those people don't know how to actually dig around and look, because yes, there are some people doing that, but then again, there are other people that who've been doing this for years who see a lot more of this stuff hitting the marketplace and have to lower their prices in order to compete with.
Yeah, I mean,
dealers.
That's the flip side. Is suddenly because everyone thinks their stuff is there's some money to be had, it's flooding the market,
which is fine for a lot
of us.
Works for me. Yeah, works for me. Flood the marketplace with stuff and give me 20 dealers selling Supernaturals and Jace and the Wheeled Warriors.
Dragon Riders of the Styx.
Have all that stuff come out of storage and out of nowhere. And, that way Dave and I have a much easier time finding weird stuff like that.
Yep.
That's been the biggest thing I've seen, is that you see a lot more people bringing a lot more stuff out that we've never seen out in the wild before. To a degree.
Every toy show is always different for me. So, yeah. Like, I can't really say one way or the other.
Yeah. It's been pretty interesting, though. I'm curious to see what Season 3 does for the toy industry. You know, he's going to be going overseas a lot
this
year.
Well, if they're going into Season 3, then it's been 2 years.
Yeah, well.
Jerk.
Shut up. We've been doing this show almost 3 years, it seems. Math. It
feels like this episode's been going on for 3 years.
Shut your mouth. He says, second, more lighthearted question. If you could go back in time to any year and stash away a set of toys for future enjoyment, what year would you choose? In a past question, someone asked about hoarding toys from the year 85. Which would be a good year? You get Power of the Force, Star Wars, He-Man, Joe, or Action Force, as would be for me. G1 Transformers, Mask, and Superpowers. But I'd also be tempted by 82. Lots of Mego goodness still around. 78. To be there at the beginning of Star Wars, as I was only 3 then, but remember seeing the toys in the store. And maybe 83. My mom lost her job that year. And while she did her best with what we had, I had to wait for the bulk of the Return of the Jedi toys that came out that year. Once she was working again, Christmas 84 was the best ever. So what year would you go back and stash a hoard of toys for future enjoyment?
I mean, 85 probably is the best year for it because you know, you do get Power of the Force. You just dig those out of the bin. They just hand them to you.
I think I'd go back 87, 88.
Well, that seems to be where your focus is these days, is the late Kenner.
Yeah, I'd go back and stash Police Academy toys and Turtles. Yeah, I figured. And stash a lot of that stuff, a lot of that early run stuff. 86 would be a good year for me because Brave Star and Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future, a lot of that stuff.
Well, personally, I think that 85 is like the best year for G.I. Joe's. Like, it had the best range of characters.
Right.
I think it just may have the flag, but I know it just missed the Defiant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do get you get Masters. Because
I think Defiant happened 87, didn't it?
I think it was 86.
Yeah.
There always seems to be, like, depending on what store you look at, they list it as 86 or 87.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I mean, I think 85 probably has the best spread of product. You do get those early Transformers. And keep in mind, the Transformers came out in 84. So, I mean, you're gonna find the old ones still hanging around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say 85 to get those Power of the Force things, get the A-Wing, get the Skiff.
That'd be cool.
You know, I mean, yeah, it'd be neat to get the early Star Wars stuff and get some Mego stuff. So probably my second pick would be maybe 79.
79 would be cool.
Because everything's in them. Because back in those days, like, they didn't have the turnover like that we do now.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you got the same toys for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Just continuously, like.
Yeah.
All
they
the
just,
pegs.
They just cranked them out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'd say 85 and 79.
85, 79 would be good. The last one, the third question's for you, Dave.
Oh, there's a new one that just popped up.
Have you seen the new 31-inch Darth Vader figure by Jack Specific, and what do you think of it?
I think that's the thing. I think they have that at Toys R Us. And it's
not a scale you collect, but I mean, what?
No.
It's probably one of the best large-scale Star Wars figures that's been done in a while of that. Yeah. I mean, they haven't really done that size, but I think Jack's, because General Giant did the sculpting on it.
If it's the thing I'm thinking about, I've seen it. And my eyes just kind of skirt over it because it's another Darth Vader toy.
Right.
Which is pretty much the last thing that I need. I'm sure it's really nice. I'm sure it's cool. I don't know how much it costs. I'm not really that interested. Because don't they have like a giant Batman and a giant Superman too?
Yeah, but those are different companies.
I know they also did like the Thing back in the day.
Yep. Usually they were Walmart exclusives.
Yeah. I'm sure it's cool. I really do not need another Darth Vader toy.
Right, exactly.
Regardless of the size.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he wants to know if the line continues in that style, what other characters would you like to see? Yeah, other than Bosk.
Bosk.
Just Bosk.
Well, maybe the Gamorrean Guard.
Gamorrean Guard would be cool.
Wicket would be cool.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's my problem is that all the characters that I like or would buy are characters that, like, they're not going to get to.
Right.
It'll be Darth Vader. It'll be Luke Skywalker in the farm boy outfit. It'll be Luke Skywalker in the X-Wing outfit. It'll be a stormtrooper. It'll be a clone trooper.
Yeah.
It'll be a slightly different clone trooper. It'll be a third slightly different clone trooper. It'll be Han Solo in the vest.
Yeah.
It'll be Princess Leia in the white outfit. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Chewbacca would be considered exotic and far-flung, you know.
Right.
It'll be R2-D2. It'll be C-3PO.
Which, bringing up Star Wars, it just brings me back to the Antique Mall this weekend. There was a Star Wars booth in a case. The guy had just a bunch of, like, mostly like 90s Star Wars stuff, but he had a bunch of carded stuff up on top. And a couple of the things he had a carded Star Wars Dark 3¾-inch. Is Biggs out in that line?
Yeah.
He had a Biggs, and he wanted like $70 for Biggs. And I was like, are you kidding me, dude? And then he had a 6-inch Stormtrooper.
You should have Should have gone to Toys R Us, picked up one, go back and say, I will sell this to you for $60. You can make $10 profit.
He had a Star Wars Black 6-inch Sand Trooper, and he was like, $50 firm. And I'm like,
Are you on drugs?
You can go to the store and still find those, dude, unless they're really hard to find in the
St.
Louis area.
They are stacking up. Well, maybe in the St. Louis area, but they're stacking up around here.
Well, you know what? We'll be able to find out because, we have a special guest next week on David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Oh, is it next week?
Yeah, it's next week. Our good buddy Mike from What's on Joe Mind is going to be on. I don't know if we can actually physically get him to drive here from St. Louis.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because he's busy.
I know. But no, one way or the other, he will be on with us next week to.
That should be interesting. Yeah, he was so appalled
that I bought little ponies.
Bought all those ponies, and I know I've told him about you.
You told him I was a very special boy.
I explain you to him as I explain you to all my friends.
Yes, I'm a very gender non-gender specific toy
collector. You love, and I don't even think it's the toys. I think the toys are. The toys you focus on, but it's just anything 80s you love.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't judge. You don't care.
Oh, God, no.
Dude,
some of the pony stuff I bought, I played with last night. I'm like, this stuff is so cool.
Yeah. And, it was Hasbro, and they did a good job.
Yeah. So, yeah, but arguably Mike from What's on Joe Mind, one part of the What's on Joe Mind team.
Yep.
One half will be on the air with us next week.
I don't know, five or six of those guys.
Well, but he's one of the, one of the two main guys I think of.
Well, I'm sure Chuck appreciates that.
Sorry, Chuck. I love you too.
That's okay. You're supposed to be mean to Chuck. Oh, right? Okay. That's the thing.
Oh, is it supposed to be mean to Chuck?
Yeah.
I don't want to be mean to Chuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I like.
I know. I didn't either. I think that's why I didn't do well in my thing, because I wasn't mean to Chuck.
Oh, well. So you're not a mean person unless it's mean.
I'm an extremely mean person.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not. I'm not
mean to you.
You're a lovable teddy bear.
I give you a heart.
Yes, you do.
Because that's the whole thing. Because you need that. You need that to play off of. If I was nice to you, you'd be confused.
Be like, why is Dave being so kind? I don't understand.
It's like you would just be sitting there like, okay, toys are okay, I guess.
Because
you need that.
No,
you need the hate. True. You feed off of it. It's how you react.
That's true. Well, gang, before we end this episode up, let's listen to a returning ADOS Baron and this week's thoughts with ADOS Baron.
Huzzah!
I'm back! Indeed, listeners, your humble ADOS Baron has returned for good this week. So let's shift into gear and get this ball rolling. Greetings all. Did you miss me? I did. But don't think I took my downtime lightly. I've been filming a lot, so look out for a handful of reviews on the way soon. For the first report after that long hiatus, I bring you Francesco the Swamp Monster on yet another Turtles editorial.
Oh, sorry. That was just gas. Where are my manners? You see, we swamp creatures aren't accustomed to courteous procedures, but we're trying. What I've come to talk about today is Playmate's release of the classic vintage Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures. While it was an interesting idea to bring them back again with the current turtle craze, it appears they didn't handle it very well. To begin, how many times has this been done before? To keep issuing them every few years takes away from the vintage re-release being special. Secondly, every time it's done, though they may use a lot of the original packaging in recreating the blister card, the design is different from the one prior, so those hoping to fill a few holes they may have missed in the last go-around are dealt with a non-uniform collection. And last, which is the big deal, is the quality. Bluntly put, they look horrible, and I should know a thing or two about horrible. When compared to my original Fab Four, the quality in the plastic is taking a very noticeable nosedive. The molding seam lines are far more apparent on this batch, and they look and feel incredibly lightweight and fragile. On top of all of that is the paint, which looks like it was just slapped on. It is far from crisp, with blatant paint bleeds running throughout the figures in addition to areas that didn't receive enough. Now this issue is primarily only one with the turtles themselves. Splinter and Shredder seem to come out okay. Despite all those issues, I still can't stop from admiring the original art. I realize there are a lot of Masters fans who simply adore the art used for that line. And for good reason. It's spectacular. But the drawings used for the original Turtles box art was something I was always smitten with. And seeing it again brings back a lot of good memories of years past. That alone makes it worth it. If I had the money.
We do love our box art here, don't we, Francesco?
Sorry, I have a frog in my throat. Literally.
Gross. It's been a while since I last gushed about an anime series, but with the lack of anything current that sparks my interest, I wind up resorting to old favorites or ones I haven't gone back to and watched for some time. The 80s boys action genre has always been my favorite, and it's a sure bet the series in question is from it. That being Saint Seiya! If you didn't hear it, I said Saint Seiya. If you're familiar with any fighting show, there's not much to explain. Five young boys don mystical Greek cloth armor to fight off threats to the world or within their saint brotherhood. Yes, it's terribly formulaic and repetitive, but it was big enough to gain popularity worldwide. Well, except for the US. Like a lot from the genre, it was a massive success in Europe and Latin America, as it aired around the time that it did in Japan. Well, within like a 10-year time frame. But because of the restrictions of violence put on children's television in the US at the time, we never got it until it was too late. While it hit big some time ago, we didn't get any sort of iteration of Saint Seiya until 2003. And true to US form, it was renamed and heavily edited. It aired on Cartoon Network in, I think, a late Friday primetime Toonami slot, I believe? With a nauseating cover of 80s hit Iran done by Bowling for Soup. Yeah, it was an affront to the Greek gods themselves! It was a Cartoon Network show, so its time slot was shuffled around until no one knew when it was on, and at that point it lost almost all of its viewership. That, and I believe trying to get kids to watch a nearly 20-year-old show at the time that looked dated was a hurdle the execs couldn't overcome. From what I remember, Knights of the Zodiac didn't get very far into the series, only the first 32 episodes. But hope was not lost entirely. In conjunction with Knights, now-defunct anime distributor AD Vision released the series uncut with a separate dub, Japanese language track, and subtitles under the original series name. But they only released about half of the 114-episode series and couldn't even finish the arc they had started, all of which I own. It's an absolute tragedy no one like Discotech has claimed the rights to the whole series. We know they can take on a task like this with how they handled Fists of the North Star, so I still have my fingers crossed. All of that said, when Knights of the Zodiac aired, there was an accompanying toy line from Bandai. The primary line consisted of the five main characters, which came with a mini statue of their saint armor in avatar mode, or so I'll call it. Each avatar had a piece you could remove and add to the figure. Though only two of the five characters had attachable pieces that were show accurate, one of them had a real chain. The ones which weren't still look good with them on. I have all five in addition to a 10-inch Seiya with fully removable Pegasus armor and Pegasus avatar to attach them to when not on the figure. They were typical for the time, but there's something about them that still holds up. They may not be super articulated, though they still had plenty, and the sculpts may not have been highly detailed, but they were a great representation as to how they are in the show and feature bright, crisp paint jobs. There is an amazing line currently being put out by Bandai Japan, but they are usually at least $80 a pop. Not really something I can budget right now. But I still have the series to bask in for the time being, which asks you, have you ever felt the true power of the cosmos? That's all for reports this week, but before we go, I want to thank everyone here that's part of the Toy World Order community for expressing their condolences and keeping me in their thoughts during this troubling time. I say this from the bottom of my heart and deep, deep down in my guts that it means so much and I appreciate each and every one of you. Without my dad's enthusiasm in my hobby from an incredibly early age, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I still remember the days when he would come home from work with something he knew I'd love. There was never a time he was wrong, except one Christmas where he thought it would be a good idea to get my sister and I a book of facts. It didn't go over well. And it will be those memories I'll cherish and look back on if I'm feeling down. So from all of us at Thoughts, we wish you a pleasant day and remind you that Centipede milk is a delicious cheap substitute to coffee creamer.
Yay!
Yay!
It's good to have Ados back.
It is good to have him back.
Glad that he's feeling back up to doing Thoughts, so... It's always good to hear Doss's voice.
He's always got a home here. He's a good kid.
That's right. We told him that. We're like, you've always got a home, my friend. So, yep. That ends this week's show.
Yep.
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 Pretty quickly. Just like that. It's over.
All right.
Well, I guess. But, gang, make sure you we'll keep you posted when our sponsors.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't do the spiel because it's,
yeah,
it's
dead. Yeah, we'll keep you posted when our sponsors, Crazy Kings, are back up and running properly. They've had a lot of headaches and... fingers crossed for them. I wish them well because they're a very proud sponsor, and I hate to see something happen and them go away. So they'll work their issues out and get the website back up once they get a shopping cart that works properly to their needs, and they will be back on board. But in the meantime, gang, you can check us out, ToyWorldOrder.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder. That'd be great. Awesome. Here probably next week I'll be announcing a new reviewer joining our family.
Okay.
Which should be interesting. Should be fun. Something that neither of us collect. So actively.
I actively think is
so,
the word.
Yeah. So we'll be announcing that next week once we finalize those details. So that's something cool to look forward to. And there you go, gang. That ends the show. So as always, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The toy bar is closed, peeps. See you next week.
The thoughts, opinions, and nerd rants are solely those of your hosts and do not represent those of our sponsors.